Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome back for another chance to learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we look back 1 year to a time of terror at a race in Boston, Massachusetts. Then we travel to the Central African Republic. The United Nations says thousands of Muslims there are in danger. We'll tell you why. Thank you for spending some time with us at VOA as we give you our world, the good and the bad, as it is. Tuesday marks the first anniversary of the bombings at the Boston Marathon in Massachusetts. On Monday, April 15, 2013, two bombs exploded near the finish line at the race. The explosions killed three people and injured more than 250 others. Last week, a United States congressional committee invited law enforcement officials from the Boston area to share their experiences. They also discussed ways for other communities to prepare for possible attacks. Anna Mateo has been watching developments for us.
Lawmakers from the two main parties were united over Boston's reaction to the events of 1 year ago. Michael McCall is chairman of the House of Representatives Homeland Security Committee. He was emotional as he praised police officers from Boston and the neighboring city of Watertown. Officials say the Boston Marathon bombings were the work of two brothers, Tamerlan and Jokor Tsarnaev. In the early hours of Friday, April 19th, the two fought a gun battle with police. Tamerlan Tsarnaev was killed. His brother escaped, but was caught later that night after an extensive manhunt. At the congressional hearing, Representative McCall stated that the brothers had reportedly planned to attack New York City.
These terrorists had six more bombs in their car, and they were on their way to Times Square. If it wasn't for these heroic acts of bravery, New York City could have been hit again.
Representative Loretta Sanchez noted that the investigation is still continuing. She warned committee members not to interfere with the government's case against Jokor Tsarnaev. He goes on trial November 3rd. Former Boston Police Commissioner Edward Davis told the committee that the people of Boston remain united. He said many people are preparing to compete in the marathon next week to honor those who died last year.
And we run for the men and women and children who can't be there this year. Crystal Campbell, Lou Lindsay, Martin Richard, and Officer Sean Collier.
Those are the names of the people who died last year in the bombings. Crystal Campbell was a 29-year-old student from Arlington, Virginia. She was waiting to take a picture of a friend who was finishing the marathon. 8-year-old Martin William Richard lived in Dorchester, Massachusetts. He was waiting to see his father cross the finish line. Lu Lingzi was age 23. She was from China and was studying at Boston University. And 26-year-old Sean Collier was a police officer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Officials say he was shot and killed by Tamerlan Tsarnaev 3 days after the bombings. This year, the Boston Marathon will take place on April 21st. Watertown Police Chief Edward DeVoe said he is entering the race.
This year, I will run with 12 of my officers. It's going to be an emotional day for my officers as we run that route and cross the finish line on Boylston Street.
Harvard University professor Dutch Leonard said there is good reason why Boston area police and other officers did such an excellent job. He said 1 year earlier, police and medical personnel held a training exercise to prepare for just such an attack.
Any community can engage in joint planning and execution for any major fixed event. Paying your dues on good days builds the infrastructure of interagency familiarity, respect, and trust, and has an immediate payoff. And if a bad day ever comes, as it did in Boston, that infrastructure is literally a lifesaver.
Several lawmakers said that local law enforcement is important in reacting to terrorist and other attacks. I'm Ana Mateo.
The United Nations says 19,000 Muslims in the Central African Republic are in danger. The UN says they should move to safer towns farther north or across the border. Tens of thousands of Muslims have already fled violence in the capital, Bangui, and the western half of the CAR. Some local officials fear that more such evacuations could strengthen calls to divide the country. Steve Ember tells us more.
The CAR is a country divided. Muslims are effectively separated from Christians. In a Muslim part of Bangui, some people talk of an understanding developing between the two sides in the future. But others say a permanent division is more likely. For example, this man, Mustafa Naz, says, "That is what I want. If we separate the country, everyone can be at peace." 2,000 Muslims are trapped in the PK-12 neighborhood of Bangui. French and African troops stand guard, but trouble still comes almost daily. Ibrahim Alawad is a member of the Islamic Committee of PK-12. He says a militia fighter threw a small explosive device into the area 2 days before. 5 people were wounded. UN agencies are preparing to move the Muslims of PK-12 north to towns that have agreed to accept them. In another part of Bangui, many people have left. Others say they want to go. This man says, "We are in an open-air prison. We are held hostage. We do not feel safe. We want to go north where we can be free and earn our livings." There are about 10,000 Muslims left in the neighborhood of PK-5. The government has asked them to stay. Early this year, much of the CAR's Muslim minority fled attacks in the south and the west. Anti-Balaka militia fighters were seeking to answer abuses by Seleka rebels. The anti-Balaka are largely Christian. The rebels are mostly Muslim. International forces helped many Muslims to safely leave Bangui and other areas. The Northeast has produced several rebellions over the past 10 years. Critics say the central government has done little to develop the North or deal with security problems. A political advisor to the country's president says the government needs to take steps to deal with those security concerns. The advisor, Clément Anicette Gitiama Masogo, is also a presidential spokesman. He says a division of the country is a dangerous possibility. He says, "We feel there are Islamist extremist groups who are trying to seize upon this situation to worsen the crisis." The government says its position is clear. The Central African Republic is indivisible. Many of the Muslims preparing to leave Bangui agree. They say they want to make peace and that they will return when it is safe. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Jim Tedder. There are more Learning English programs straight ahead from VOA Washington.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. Vietnam is working to meet goals for food production and food security. In doing so, the government supports use of pesticides and other chemicals on crops. Farmers use these substances to help crops grow and to protect them from insects and other threats. Signs around Vietnam carry the message, "Do not abuse pesticides. Think of the buyer." But the government has few rules restricting the use of pesticides. Some Vietnamese are so worried about the issue that they buy food only from growers they know, or they buy food online. Chan Thuy Nhat is a 30-year-old mother who lives near Hanoi. She shops in the city center. But she worries about pesticides, so she buys vegetables only from people she knows in her village. If she did not, she says the food could harm her baby. Not everyone knows a trustworthy farmer. But there is a website that can help. It lists stores in Hanoi that sell safe vegetables. The Vietnamese buyers group, Vinastas, set up the website in 2011. Dan Kim Hien is part of the team that runs the site. Ms. Hien says stores have to meet requirements to be included on the website. For example, they have to prove that they get their vegetables from farmers who do not use chemicals. Ms. Hien says a store will be removed from the list if it does not obey the rules. Eduardo Sabio is with Vico, a Belgian non-government agricultural group. It supports the local website. Mr. Sabio says pesticide misuse in Vietnam is a real problem.
The government, they have a list of pesticides that are allowed, but almost always there are, like, in quotation, illegal pesticides that gets into the border and sold to the farmers.
Mr. Sabio says the Vietnamese Safe Food website uses what is known as the Participatory Guidance System. It supervises food safety through quality reports from farmers' groups, traders, and local officials. The system is used in more than 20 countries around the world. And Mr. Sabio says Vietnamese farmers keep detailed notes about their pesticide use, as well as that of neighboring farmers. And that's the Agriculture Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. This week, we talk about smoking, a preventable cause of cancer.
This year, the United States marked the 50th anniversary of the government's first report on smoking and health. The then Surgeon General, Luther Terry, wrote that first report. It linked cigarettes to lung cancer and heart disease. The year was 1964. At that time, more than 40% of Americans smoked. Today, about 18% are smokers. The report led to anti-smoking measures, including a requirement to place warnings on cigarette packages. The government also banned television and radio advertisements for cigarettes.
American medical researchers say anti-smoking measures have saved 8 million American lives since 1964. But cigarette smoking still kills about 443,000 Americans every year. Dr. Joanna Cohen heads the Global Tobacco Initiative at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. She says the Surgeon General's report has had a real effect on Americans.
And it really led to a reduction in use and a great increase in knowledge of the harmful effects of tobacco products.
In the United States, laws now restrict tobacco use, including the sale of cigarettes to individuals under the age of 18. Laws also protect non-smokers from breathing smoke-filled air. Many cities have banned smoking in public spaces like restaurants, bars, and even outdoor areas. Anyone visiting New York City's famous Central Park may receive a fine for lighting up a cigarette.
The medical community has repeatedly reported reasons why smokers should stop. A new report by the acting Surgeon General says recent findings show that smoking is even worse than people believe it to be. Boris Lushniak says smoking is linked to colon, rectal, and liver cancers.
Today we know that smoking is a cause of diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and poor response to treatment of arthritis, erectile dysfunction, and increased risk of tuberculosis, disease, and death. We're adding colon, rectal, and liver cancer to the long list of cancers caused by smoking.
Dr. Lushniak says smoking weakens the body's natural defenses against disease, making it easier for smokers to get sick. The new report also lists the risks for people who do not smoke, but who are surrounded by what is called secondhand smoke. The research shows the damaging effects on unborn children. Pregnant women who smoke are putting their unborn children at risk for both mental and physical developmental problems. For example, their facial features may not form correctly. The dangerous chemicals in tobacco smoke can also affect the brain of an unborn child.
Health experts have been warning about links between smoking and disease for years. The World Health Organization says tobacco use causes almost 6 million deaths worldwide every year. The WHO predicts the yearly number will increase to 8 million by 2030. Tobacco use is the leading risk factor for causing cancer. The WHO says that tobacco is responsible for over 20% of all cancer deaths and 70% of all lung cancer deaths. Smoking also causes respiratory diseases, which affect the nose and breathing passages to the surface of the lungs. Respiratory diseases include asthma, bronchitis, and emphysema. Smoking can also cause cardiovascular diseases, like heart disease and stroke.
People who smoke are not only hurting themselves, they also can harm non-smokers. The WHO officials estimate that secondhand smoke kills 600,000 people each year. It says more than half of the world's children regularly breathe secondhand smoke. Even after all the warnings, the WHO says over 1 billion people still smoke. The number of smokers is expected to grow, although rates have decreased in the higher-income nations. WHO officials say almost 80% of all smokers live in low- and middle-income countries. In 2010, the organization said nations in the Western Pacific Ocean have the highest smoking rates. 1/3 of all smokers live in East Asia and the Pacific. The area has the largest number of male smokers. It also has the fastest growing number of female and child smokers. Every day, diseases linked to tobacco use kill more than 3,000 people in the area.
Scientists have found more than 4,000 chemicals in cigarette smoke. At least 250 of them are known to be harmful, and more than 50 are suspected to cause cancer. They include arsenic, which can be used to kill plants and small animals. Cigarette smoke also contains formaldehyde, a liquid used to protect the look of dead bodies. As bad as those chemicals are, nicotine may be the most threatening of them all. Nicotine is a poison found in tobacco. It gives smokers pleasure and keeps them coming back for more. The body grows to depend on nicotine. Studies have found that nicotine can be as difficult to resist as alcohol or the drug cocaine. Experts say nicotine can kill a person when taken in large amounts. It does this by stopping the muscles used for breathing.
So, is there any way to smoke without harming your health? The majority of available research suggests not. Smoking even a few cigarettes can be dangerous. But many of the harmful effects of smoking are reversible. They can be undone. That is why most medical experts advise people to stop smoking forever. The American Cancer Society says blood pressure returns to normal 20 minutes after the last cigarette. Carbon monoxide levels in the blood return to normal after 8 hours. The chance of heart attack decreases after 1 day. After 1 year, the risk of heart disease for a non-smoker is half that of a smoker.
There are many products available to help people reduce their dependence on cigarettes. Nicotine replacement products provide the body with small amounts of the chemical through forms other than cigarettes. The amounts of nicotine are slowly reduced over time. One device that has become popular among people trying to quit smoking is the electronic cigarette, known as an e-cigarette. E-cigarettes are battery-operated devices that look like a real cigarette. The smoker places a regulated amount of nicotine into the device. As they smoke, a watery substance called vapor releases from the device. Because the vapor does not release the same harmful chemicals as cigarette smoke, the device is permitted in places that normally ban smoking. However, there are campaigns to ban e-cigarettes and change legislation linked to the device. In February, the European Parliament approved new rules on e-cigarettes that member nations must approve. The European Commission says the rules will go into effect in May of 2014. They include banning advertisements for e-cigarettes, placing health warnings similar to those on cigarettes on the packages, and limiting the amount of nicotine that could be placed in the devices. The New York Times newspaper reports that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is also looking into new rules and regulations on the devices. However, the agency says there is not enough evidence or research to say e-cigarettes are good or bad for your health. Nor will the agency agree with the debate that e-cigarettes increase young people's desire to try other tobacco-related products.
Researchers at the Center for Tobacco Control Research and Education at the University of California studied the link between the e-cigarette and real tobacco use. Stan Glantz is the director of the center. He says there is evidence the device helps a small number of adults stop smoking, but he says it is not the same with younger people. Mr. Glantz and other researchers completed a study with nearly 76,000 Korean teenagers. They found that the e-cigarette did not help the young Koreans quit smoking, but instead made them heavier smokers. The study that was published in the Journal of Adolescent Health says the young teenagers are being targeted in advertisements. Many of the ads are linked to sex and independence. They also claim the device will help you quit smoking, but Mr. Glantz says it is not likely they will quit smoking.
We have the kind of Wild West marketing that we did back in the bad old days for cigarettes. And the kids are clearly responding to that, and youth use of e-cigarettes in Korea rapidly, just as it is in here in the United States.
American regulators report the number of young students using e-cigarettes increased 2 times from 2011 to 2012. Now 1.7 million students use the device.
Cigarette companies manufacture e-cigarettes. There are efforts in some U.S. cities to ban the devices. Many people believe that until there are new rules, use of e-cigarettes will lead many people to become long-term smokers. Health experts say the best way to quit smoking is never to start.
This Science in the News was written by June Sims and Kim Varzi. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Join us again next week for more news about science on the Voice of America.